Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Principles for rebuilding walls in your life and for others. Today, I want to get into this topic because I believe that we're living in a season of needing to strengthen and rebuild things in our lives. And also around us, people are struggling sometimes. So we want to be in position to be blessed and to be a blessing. Someone once said that there are two great days in a person's life. One is the day that you were born. And the second is the day that you realize why you were born. Every one of us is born for God's purpose. All of us are born to maximize His potential in our lives. And among all the things that we're supposed to do and we are born to do, there's a part of our lives designed to impact other people positively. Do you believe this? Yes. Now, a wall represents structure, stability, identity, and purpose. But a broken wall is something that represents that which is misaligned, missing in its purpose and function. And broken walls really look like a lot of disturbance we see in our times. And this 21st century life can be very complicated. Very complicated. We sometimes come up on radical changes, like COVID-19 was a radical, radical thing we got through by the grace of God, navigated through by the grace of God. And so a broken wall is something that is out of place, and God wants to bring us stability, that in this season of change and constant change, what we need is a firm foundation in Jesus. What we have is a firm foundation in Jesus. And many times the answers that we are seeking don't come from something new. The answers sometimes come from something old. And so we're going to take a look at part of the life and work of Nehemiah. He was a Jewish leader who lived in the 5th century, that is 500 years before Christ. Or 2,500 years ago. That's a long time ago. But again, sometimes what God does, the answers God brings, isn't something new. It's from something old. The Bible says, Paul said in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." So then, according to what Paul wrote, sometimes things old can bring us great learning. And learning brings patience, comfort, and hope. Say that. Say, learning brings comfort, patience, and hope. Let's learn some lessons from the life of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1. Again, I'm reading. You can read in your Bibles. All the Scriptures aren't on the screen today. "The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, it came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, that I was in Shushan the citadel. And Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, 'The survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. Its gates are burned with fire.' So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. And I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven." You know, some ways we're all survivors. Amen. We have overcome something. Are we still overcoming something? Or we shall overcome something in the future. Sometimes we are dealing with remnants of life and situations we've gone through. And like broken walls, sometimes we feel like we just broke down and burned. Feels like that sometimes. But in Nehemiah's day, most of God's people were not living in their homeland or at home. They had been taken captive, carried off to Babylon and Persia, removed from their homes and homeland, and their home, their capital city, Jerusalem, was in ruins. So those who remained in the province, as he said there, were described as being in great distress and reproach. Say distress and reproach. Now, no matter where you live, you may live in a whole house, a standalone house, a house, you know, on the property. You may be in a townhome or an apartment. But there is something special about entering through your door. Amen. And going into your space called home. So being away from home and homeland can bring distress. So not only are we at home in our houses, y'all, we're at home in our minds. We're at home in our purpose, in our connections with people. So to be disconnected like that creates distress and reproach. And we find Israel in that place. And so again, we read here that it said that survivors who were left from the captivity were in great distress and reproach. And so distress and reproach isn't only something lacking, again, in our material world, but something lacking in the world of our spirit, soul, in our minds. So we relate to Nehemiah's day, relate to the people in that day, and we're going to learn from what they went through. So for Israel, Nehemiah, this story of Nehemiah is history. It's history to them. But for us, it's a parable of how God wants to build and rebuild our lives and help us rebuild other people's lives. Please hear that. And there are messages and there are answers for us today in this story. Proverbs 11, verse 3 says this: if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Think about that. So what we always need is a firm foundation. And what Israel did not have was foundation, because they were taken from their homeland, from their homes. That was their foundation. Sometimes you find yourself off of the foundation God wants you to be on. So just as Nehemiah was the one who led restoration of the walls at Jerusalem and restored the people to their standards, Jesus is the one who rebuilds all of our lives, who rebuilds us in every way. Amen. He goes way past the old song we sang in my granddad's church. We used to say, Lord, prop us up on every leaning side. Now, he does that too. He does more than that. Amen. He does more than prop us up. He'll fix us. Amen. Completely. You can stand up on your own. Amen. But just as, again, Nehemiah did this work, Jesus is doing a work for us today. Please hear that. Again, taking this story and seeing how God is doing a work in us today. Here's a scripture, something God said in Haggai, through Haggai. He says, and I will shake all nations. This is happening, isn't it? Yeah. Been happening. And the desire of all nations, which should be Jesus, shall come. Yeah. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Listen, God wants to fill your house or your life with his glory. Amen. And this story is going to show us how God wants to do that. So there are seven principles we're going to talk about in rebuilding walls in our lives, helping other people rebuild walls in their lives. So here we go. Principle number one: care enough to want to do something great. Say, Lord, help me. Care enough to want to do something great. So again, we read in Nehemiah 1, verse 4, it says, so it was when I heard these things that I sat down and wept and mourned many days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. The amazing thing is Nehemiah wasn't from Jerusalem. He was likely born in captivity or taken there as a young person. So his life didn't surround. He wasn't in the homeland. But because of his heart and passion and education, he knew where his foundation was. He understood his heritage. He knew from whom he came. And that helped him have that compassion he needed. So after receiving reports about the condition of the people and the walls of the city being broken down, he became concerned because Nehemiah understood what Israel's intended purpose was. He understood from his education, from his heritage, he understood where he was supposed to be, where the people were supposed to be. So caring about others will lay a firm foundation for action. Caring is sharing. Caring is love. Caring is foundational, y'all. Yes. All right. Nothing starts until we really care. Amen. About people. Amen. So then this led to him going into a season of fasting and praying to his God. So we will never desire to build or rebuild our lives or help other people build up until we have awareness of people's conditions. Until then, compassion rises up in us. So when Nehemiah heard the report, he sat down and wept. That's compassion, y'all. That's awareness. All right. I heard about the situation in Haiti. And that country tends to be forgotten a lot. Because it's a black country. Well, you know, that makes it, it doesn't help at all. They have a lot of problems in there. And they've been called different things. But they're still God's people. Amen. In Haiti. Amen. And there are other cities in Haiti that are not falling apart like Port-au-Prince is. Amen. But of course, the capital city, wherever it starts there, can go out everywhere else. So we're praying for, and people are, there are some people working toward trying to stabilize that situation. But it takes awareness and compassion to get things done. What we've done as a church in our various ministries all began with awareness and compassion. You hear a report, you see something, and your heart just opens up to it. And God touches your heart, and you feel motivated to move towards that. That's how things begin to happen. And again, nothing will, well, we must care enough to want to make a difference. Amen? All right. I think about this as well. So then once he began again to hear the report, began to weep, began to have compassion and awareness, then he sat down and wept, and then he went into fasting and prayer. Prayer has to follow. Having a feeling about something is one thing. But you need prayer to see if that feeling is something from God or just a temporary thing you sense in the moment. Amen. I mean, there are sensations and there are seasons. So folk get a sensation sometime and embark upon a thing, but they don't have the season. There's no season for that. They're not committed to it. They just have a feeling in the moment. But Nehemiah felt much more. He wasn't into just the sensation. He had a season going forth from him into his homeland. Now, one of the bad outcomes of hard times and oppression is that you can become accustomed to it. For example, when Harriet Tubman, who had in her heart to get people out from under slavery and began to start what's called the Underground Railroad and help people leave the South and leave slavery, and she was committed to that in supernatural ways, God used her. You can read the story if you haven't heard already. Just look her up, all right, if you don't know. You probably know. But Harriet Tubman had it in her heart to do this work. But the amazing part was because of some people who were so conditioned to slavery, there were some enslaved people who did not want to leave where they were. They had grown accustomed to it. And that's what hard times and oppression can do to the mind. It can take people from seeing better and higher to settling for less and lower. So when you go through a lot in your life, don't let it condition you to settle for it. Still believe that God wants to raise you up out of it. Amen? Amen. Oppressors want you to get used to stuff. To say, oh, that's just the way it is. Don't believe it. Don't go that way. Amen. And Nehemiah knew this. He knew this. And over time, because the people have been living in captivity for 70 years, that's a lifetime. Many had settled into a new lifestyle in Babylon, in Persia. And they were born there. Many were born in Babylon and considered that their home. But one of the jobs of a leader is to remind people of their higher purpose. Amen. Amen. And the true place before God. That's what leaders do. We all should be leaders in that way, to encourage people to know their true purpose and not settle for less. Say, I won't settle for less than God's purpose for me. So no. So again, Nehemiah was a Hebrew living in Persia, probably raised in Persia. He was the king's cupbearer, so he had a life of privilege. It wasn't being beaten every day and all that. It wasn't that kind of slavery for the people in that time. But he was out of his position. Even being the king's cupbearer, while it was a lofty job in Persia, it was not his purpose. So the thing is this, y'all, it is possible to become comfortable in captivity. Say, I won't become comfortable in captivity. I don't care how good it is. If it's not for you, it's not for you. So Nehemiah knew his purpose and the purpose of Jerusalem and for the Jewish people. We must always endeavor to restore and keep God's intended state for our lives. Keep your eye on the prize. Don't forget who you are, whose you are, the purpose of God on your life. So sometimes we have others come along to encourage you. I mean, my message today is to encourage you in the same way, that no matter what you're going through, don't let those things make you look lower. Keep looking up. Amen, somebody? Amen. Say, I'll keep looking up. So people who care are always motivated to know how other people are doing. Thank God for caring people. Amen. Folks that call you, how you doing? You all right? How you doing today? You know, we all need that, don't we? Amen. While we have our faith and we trust God for ourselves, but everybody needs encouragement. Everyone needs that. So being motivated to know how people are doing is what really we should all be about. And that we should care enough to make a difference. Amen. See, Father, help me. Father, help. To care enough to make a difference. But there are people who are not motivated to know what's going on. I mean, some folks be like, if I know, then I got to get involved. Uh-huh. It's going to draw me out of my comfort zone. That's real too now. I'm not trying to figure it out. But thank God for those who are willing to go into situations to make a difference. I'm going to show you a video, a brief video, 30-second video. In fact, it's a Marines promotional video from 12 years ago. And it's one of the best videos I've seen of this type. So watch this brief video.
There are a few who move toward the sounds of chaos, ready to respond at a moment's notice. And when the time comes, they are the first to move toward the sounds of tyranny, injustice, and despair. They are forged in the crucible of training. They are the few, the proud, the Marines.
Which way would you run? I'm going this way. I'm going to... All right. Marines are trained They go to the chaos. And I'm suggesting that we are Marines all of a sudden, but the idea and the concept that there is this sense of purpose to move toward difficult situations. That's what Nehemiah is showing us. The dude was living in the palace. He was the king's cupbearer. He had privilege. He had no need to go to a broken down, troubled place and be among people who were struggling and in distress and all that. But he did choose to go there because of the love of God, because of compassion and awareness. So I want to suggest to us that we all too in Christ have the same spirit in us. Amen. To want to make a difference. Many of us do exactly that. Almost all of us in here, you do that in some way or form or fashion. Amen. So which way would you run? Well, like Nehemiah, we should move toward restoration and rebuilding walls that have been broken. And that's not easy work, y'all. If you deal with people who have had brokenness in their life, you know how difficult it is. They even lash out at you sometimes. That goes with it, doesn't it? Yeah. So you can't do it. It can't be a sensation. It has to be a season. You can't have just a sensation. I'm going to help that person. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see. Go on. Not go on. Go on. I wish you well. We'll check on you next week. See if you're still there. And a lot of times people back off. But we have to have that Christ spirit in us that won't back off. Because it's the power of God doing it, not us. All right. So then here's the second principle. Commit to prayer and ownership of the conditions. Nehemiah committed himself to prayer. He prayed before doing anything else. He offered a prayer of repentance. Went like this, Nehemiah 1 verse 5. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night. For the children of Israel, your servants, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, and the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are faithful, I will settle, if you're unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you are cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling place for my name. That's Jerusalem. That's the homeland. Now, these your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. That's part of his prayer. So that laid a foundation for him to take action. So Nehemiah recognized where the responsibility was when he said, these are your servants, Lord. These are your people, not my people, your people. I'm owning my part, but Lord, you need to make the difference, not me. So watch this important detail. He said in verse 11, he says, O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name. Watch this. And give success to your servant today. The man prayed for success, which meant he had formed a plan in his mind while he had been in prayer, how to go about this project, but was already in faith for it to happen. See, when God puts things in your heart like this, he gives you faith for it. He gives you faith to believe it. He gives you faith to pursue it. You believe this? All right, third principle. Seek proper authority to act. Say, I will seek proper authority to act. The old saying is, some people were sent and some just went. So be sent. As the king's cupbearer, Nehemiah had access, but he needed favor. Authority isn't only permission, it is partnership. When you're authorized, you also gain a partner in the one who authorized you. And this authority comes with backup and resources. That's why we want to get permission, to get the help and partnership of those who authorize us. So this prayer for favor to get permission and authority from the king went before going to Jerusalem. He wanted to go, but wouldn't go until he had release from his king. And too many people today are acting without authority, from the pastors, from civil authorities, others in a position to grant authority. Again, some were sent and some just went. So here it says in Nehemiah 2, it says, so it came to pass in the month of Nisan, 20th year of Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, and I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Yeah. The king said to me, why is your face sad? Are you sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. And I became afraid. He's afraid because you can't be sad in front of the king. Your job, make the king happy. You can make him happy, all right? So sadness gets in trouble with the king. But he was just being genuine here. And he knew Nehemiah. It wasn't like just a regular person, right? So he said to the king, the king asked, why is your face sad? And then he said, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire? There was the opportunity. Door opened. The favor came. Then the king said, what do you request? What do you want? And he told him what he wanted. King, I pray, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. Then the king said to me, and the queen sitting beside him, how long will your journey be? When will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him, and I set him a time. Wow. So there it was. He gained authority to act and also gained a partner with the king's resources to get the job done. That's why we need to operate under authority, people. Amen. Amen. And to let people send us, because with that sending comes support. All right. With that permission comes partnership. You hear that? All right. Well, let's look at now principle number 4. Come into agreement. Say, I will come into agreement. Nehemiah 2:17 says, then I said to them, you see the distress that we're in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates burn with fire. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also the king's words. You get that? God and the authority in the earth. Heaven authority, earth's authority. He says, the king's word that he had spoken to me, and they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. I love this. When the people heard clear vision, following prayer and authorization, they came into agreement. And when the people came to agreement, he didn't ask them. They said, let us rise up and build. They said that. He didn't say, all right, y'all, say it after me. Let us rise up. No, they said that. The people said it because they were in agreement. With agreement, y'all, all things are possible. That's why before you embark upon some task with someone, some journey, don't agree. Find out. Get some details first. Ask some questions. Get some details. Because you find out people what they're saying when you ask them more questions. You feel, oh, whoa, no, I'm not doing that. No, that's not. No. That don't make no sense. You got something to find out. Because people don't want to always give you all the details up front. So be sure to ask questions. It takes time to come into agreement. What did I say? It does take time. It does. Don't rush into things like that. So Jesus said this. He said, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they shall ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Please hear that. Jesus said that. It's amazing the power we have, authorized by God, authorized by proper authorities, and through prayer. Man, all things are possible. Bible says, Romans 10, 17 says, by faith, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when Nehemiah told the story of the conditions and what the authorization he had was and what God told him, that caused the faith to rise in the people. Faith come by hearing, y'all. The words of God, even the words of visionaries. Faith come by hearing, not by just having heard. So keep hearing. It's a continual process. All right, principle five, don't be surprised by resistance or being belittled. Don't be surprised by resistance. Nehemiah 4, watch this. When Sanballat, ain't heard nothing about Sanballat until some progress was being made. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed and ridiculed the Jews. And in the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria, he said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish it in a day? Can they bring the stones back from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are? Wow. So when you get into doing God's will and serving God's purpose, the thief's going to show up. Christ said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief sometimes is spirits of the devil. Sometimes the thief is folk. But you won't get away with serving God without some resistance. Don't be surprised when opposition and haters show up. Sanballat and his crew were determined to maintain their status quo because they had set up shop in the temple. They were using the spaces in there to store things in. So they didn't want to have to give that up. But yet, they're fixing to give it up, y'all, because God had a plan. And Nehemiah was a man with God's plan. So don't be surprised, because when you make progress, things get displaced. And people don't like their things, some things being displaced. So do not get upset with that. Principle number six, stay out of bad meetings. I'll say this, I'll go further. Stay out of every meeting, except the one God wants you in, the ones God wants you in. Verse 6, chapter 6, verse 1. Now it happened when Sanballat, now he got three other, now it was Sanballat by himself, now it's three other people. Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors in the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. Like I always say, don't go to Ono. Oh no. Say, I won't go to Ono. Because that was the only thing they had left, was try to lure them away. So when taunts and distractions didn't work, Sanballat and his crew tried to draw them away from their work into a meeting. Don't go to any meetings out of the will of God. Because going into wrong meetings have at least three bad effects on you. First of all, they take you out off of your wall and away from your assignment. Second, bad meetings will set you up for ambush, distractions, or worse. And three, obviously, you won't finish what you started. So I thank God for meetings. I'm in meetings, but I only go to meetings that are in the will of God for my life. Amen? Watch this, Nehemiah's response. I love this. So Nehemiah's response was this. So I sent messengers to them. He didn't go himself. He just sent telegram as, you know, it's in an email or something. I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it to go down to you? His words are chosen very carefully. Because the thing is, when you're in God's will, you've gone up. When you're not doing God's will, you're going down. When you're fool with people who are up to no good, you're going down. So don't go down to people. Don't go down to circumstances that aren't a part of God's plan for your life. Amen. And then we come to the seventh principle. Get it done. Say, I will get it done. Get it done. Defy the enemies, whether the situations or people. I'm not telling you to disdain, disrespect people, but you have to understand that you got to serve God more than people. Amen. And so sometimes the answer to people is no. Or later or some other way. Because you can't get the work done if you're distracted. So the Bible says in Nehemiah 6, verse 15, so the wall was finished. Say that. Say, so the wall was finished. Say it again. So the wall was finished. That was the objective. He says, on the 25th day of Elul, in 52 days. And it happened when all of our enemies heard of it. And all the nations around us saw these things, that they were disheartened in their own eyes. Get that now. In their own eyes, they were disheartened. They knew we couldn't stop it. We tried and we couldn't. We don't have any power against the power of God. Like that scene in the Ten Commandments movie. It's not in the Bible, but I love the scene where Yul Brynner is supposed to go out, Pharaoh, and kill Moses and come back to his wife. She said, well, show me his blood on your sword. And then she said, you couldn't even kill him. And he said, his God is God. in the Yul Brynner voice. It's not in the Bible. But it's a beautiful scene in a movie, amen. You gotta watch it sometime. That's all I watch. It's a 4-hour movie. And I watch like three scenes of it all the time, three scenes. But this is what it is when God works and people know he did it through you. And they are disheartened in their own eyes. But second thing it said was, for they perceived that the work was done by our God. Our God is God. They got the job done in 52 days. That's a supernatural time frame. So the best thing you can do for doubters and haters and such is just do what God told you to do. Be faithful to God. So people have to change their attitude. My attitude won't change. I'm going to serve God. Right. I'll do his will. I'll do what he said. Yeah. That's my attitude. Yeah. So your attitude needs to change because mine's not changing. Amen. Somebody going to change. Somebody got to change. Right. Won't be God, won't be me. All right. Amen, somebody. Amen. I like this because the Bible says they were disheartened in their own eyes or attitude. Then it says they perceived that the work was done by God. Doesn't get better than that. But one thing enemies had right, it wasn't, they were not able to do it. Israel didn't have the power to rebuild the wall. They couldn't do it. But they understood it's not us. It was God all along. He's the one that gave us the vision. He gave us the authorization. He sent us. He caused the king to support it. So all these factors said it wasn't us in the first place. It was God that did it through us. Amen, somebody? Amen. That's why you want to avoid distractions and discouragement and defeatist attitude. Don't let anything take you off that wall of purpose, of your assignment, because it's so easy to get drawn in. So the big idea is this. Finish up. The big idea is just simply this, that God wants to manifest himself through you. And that's exactly what he will do if we don't get in the way or let other people get in the way or things get in the way. Now, Apostle Paul summarized this way. Paul said this. I love this. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 27, verse 1, 27, 28, he said, 27 through 29, he said, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. And the things and the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things that are not to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in his sight. So God flips the script, uses people. Other folk think they can't be used like that. God knows how to rebuild walls, how to rebuild lives, how to work through you to get it done. So through God's strength, God will choose you. You may think you're foolish in terms of what people think. You may feel like you're weak. You may feel like you're base. You may feel like you're despised or something who is not, that is not. Doesn't matter. Because you're the kind of person God wants because you're willing. A lot of people think they're God's gift to the world. God's like, no, you're not. I got to find somebody who will let me work through them. So understand this. So then through God's grace, he'll use you to bring to nothing things and people who seem to have it all together, have all the answers. God chooses whom he wants to choose. He uses whom he wants to use. And it all begins with having that heart to care, to want to be used by God. It all begins with recognizing that through prayer and through taking ownership of our own situations that we can find God's grace. It also goes to, again, getting proper authority, coming to agreement. Don't be surprised by resistance. You know, James said that don't think it strange, the fiery trial, as if some strange thing is happening. One time I talked about trials and tests, and I read that scripture, don't think it's strange. I said, Pastor, it's so strange what's happening to me. Were you listening? No. Don't think it strange. The fiery trial, the resistance, the feeling you have sometimes. Don't think that's a part of the enemy trying to get you off your wall. Again, stay out of bad meetings. Amen, somebody. That'll help somebody today. Stay out of bad meetings. Or out of any meeting. Except the ones God, I say a little different. Stay out of every meeting. Except the ones God wants you in. Or your job requires you to be in. Don't say, Pastor said, I ain't got to go to the meeting. That's God. No. Pastor also said, if your job tell you get up in there, you going up in there. Amen. And finally, get it done. So I will get it done. Defy the enemies in your circumstances, whether it's situations or people, because that's how God gets the glory. When you finish what God told you to do. Always focus on God and your God-given assignments. Amen. Say, I will always focus on God and my God-given assignments. Amen. Give God some praise. Come on, bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord.